Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and a wonderful, powerful, and blessed evening it is. It is beautiful when brethren get together and talk about the magnificent and the glory of the all-powerful God which we serve. Again, I say good evening. This is Ken Hodge, co-producer of Hodge the Hodge podcast, and I've got the other co-producer on the line. We refer to him as the messenger. This is a brother who has devoted time from his life to make sure that we all understand that it's very easy, folks, to assure your spot in heaven. In fact, the messenger will tell you your spot is already assured. I would ask that you listen to the words and engage him in conversation, because the words that you're about to hear are from none other than our own messenger, Ron Dyer. If everybody will give me a second and please receive him as he comes to the microphone.
Bless you, my brother, and I thank you for that tremendous introduction. Today, I just want to say that what we've been doing here at this podcast, and what we've been doing is bringing you a message from God. It is in God's suggest a social, sexual, educational, political, economic, and theological revolution on this planet, the likes of which we have never seen and seldom imagine. Its suggestion is made within the context of our stated desires as the planet's inhabitants. We have said that we choose to create a better life for all, to elevate our consciousness, to seek a newer world. God will not condemn us no matter what we choose, but if we choose this, he is willing to show us the way. She will not force us, however. It takes her suggestions. Not now, not ever. I find the words that we've been sharing can be captivating, disturbing, challenging, uplifting. They are captivating in that they catch your breath with the scope and the sweep of their reach. They are disturbing in the way that they show me, myself, and the human race to me in a way which is very unsettling. They are challenging in that they put the dare to us to as no one and nothing ever has before. The dare to be better. The dare to be bigger than we could ever have been. The dare to be the source of a world in which anger, petty jealousy, sexual dysfunction, economic inadequacies, educational tomfoolery, social inadequate, and political scenarios and plays are never again part of the human experience. They are uplifting in that they hold out the hope that all this is possible. Can we really build such a world? God says yes, and that all it takes is for us to really choose to do it. This message is coming from God. It is just a series of conversations, per se, that not only myself but other believers have had. So all of these that I'm sharing with you, please don't think it's just all me. It's just me gathering information from other such special people that have had conversations and enlightenment with our Creator. You may not believe that what I'm saying has actually come from God, and I have no need for you to. What is important to me is only whether the material itself has any value, brings any insight, produces any awakening, sparks any renewed desire, or promote any fruitful change in our day-to-day lives on earth. God knows something has to change. We can't keep going on as we have been.
My brother?
Yes, sir.
I said we went out for a second, but I just wanted to interrupt for a second and just to say, again, that's power in the opening already. We can change. We can not, again, people like to say we're going to split politics and religion, but if everything is one, not only can we change ourselves, but if we take enough of us Americans, enough of us people start to understand that we are all one and we are all connected and we treat each other with love and kindness. As the song says, what a wonderful world this would be.
Amen. I just want you to know, at first, with delivering this message, at first I was just downright scared. It occurred to me that others might think I was crazy, suffering delusion of grandeur, or that if they did believe the material to have been inspired by God, then they would actually follow the advice. And why was I afraid of this? Simply, I knew that everything that I said could be wrong. Then the letters and calls from people started coming in. And then I knew deep inside, I knew this was right. This was exactly what the world needed to hear at exactly the right time. Of course, there is no right or wrong, except within the relative experience of our existence. So what I know myself to mean is that it is right on, given who and what we say on this planet we want to be. I'm kind of afraid that I've stirred up a hornet's nest, kicked up storms, made waves, and once more, I'm afraid that thing here could be wrong. Certainly, I should know better than to have these fears. After all, haven't I been delivering these words? Haven't I been living this? But we all have it. My humanness again. You see, it is not my goal in making these sayings public to shake people up. I wish only to be honest and forthrightly pass on to you what God has communicated. In answer to questions, I promised God I would do that, make public these messages, and I can't break that promise. You can't break your promise either. Obviously, you have to make a promise to allow all your thoughts, ideas, and beliefs to be continually changed. Clearly, you have to make a deep commitment to continually grow. Only a person with such commitment would make that type of a promise. So it seems that we are in this together, and there's nothing to fear. We are what we are. And we do what we do as a result of that. And all we have to do is stay true to that. And there's nothing to fear. What I now see that I get. What I now see that I guess I've known all along is that we are all messengers. You, I, we are all messengers. And if we weren't, I wouldn't be saying this, and we certainly wouldn't be having this podcast. We're messengers, and we have work to do. First, we have to make sure we clearly understand the message. Second, we have to integrate the message into our lives so that it becomes a function. And third, we have to carry that message to others, bringing its truth to all those who live, whose lives we touch, by the simple and exquisite device of our example. I'm glad to take this journey. It's much easier and it's fun. It's more fun with you than without you. Let's walk together now and try to embrace what it is that God would have for us to know. There is always a next level, you know. Your soul, which comes here for the richest experience, not the poorest, the most, not the least, would like you not to rest. And while the choice While the choice is not one that we thought we'd be making, we have made that choice, and now what we must do is try to live it daily so that we can experience the growth and communion with God.
Is everything all right, my brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hold on. They loving it. Yes, sir. But again, you talk about us making a choice, man. You know, again, I choose to follow the message. I do. I'm hook, line, and sinker on board. One of the benefits that I get from a message such as this or a lifestyle such as this is it lets me know that if once I realize I walk around as a direct representative of the Creator Himself who has given me special powers and ability, and I don't mean to see through rocks, the power to understand, the power to try to speak to both sides and arrive at a resolve, the power to do these things. And sometimes, even though you try, the forces in this universe try to go against that, I'm telling you right now, I'm a firm believer that if you hold fast and understand that it's all for the good, you'll begin to enjoy watching people attempt to demise or diminish what it is that you're doing. So as they begin to talk about the message, what they're really doing is talking the message. So eventually they're going to talk about this message to somebody who they've already predetermined is going to laugh or enjoy their disbelief, and they're going to receive quite the opposite, man.
Amen.
I know that's how it's shaping. Because again, when you break the message down, it's just about God. It's just about God. There is no anti-Christ or no anti-anything. Everything is just pro-God. And if you understand that part of the message, then other things that we talk about will become clear to you also.
Amen. Let's look at it. If every person on the planet had basic needs met, if the masses of the people would live in dignity and escape the struggles of simple survival, would this not open the way for all humankind to engage in a more noble pursuit? Would individual greatness really be suppressed if individual survivals were guaranteed? Must universal dignity be sacrifice to individual glory? What kind of glory is obtained when it is achieved at the expense of others? God has placed more than significant resources on our planet to ensure adequate supplies for all. How can it be that thousands starve to death each year, that hundreds go homeless, that millions cry out for simple dignity? The kind of help that would end this is not the kind of help which disempowers. If you're well off, say, they do not want to help the starving and the homeless because they do not want to disempower them, then you're well off are hypocrites. No one is truly well off if they are well off while others are dying. The evolution of a society is measured by how well it treats the least among its members. As God has said, the challenge is to find the balance between helping people and hurting them. That's really, really important there. There is a balance between helping and hurting. And if you don't want to help someone because you think that it's going to take a little from you, then are you really what you think you are? Are you really serving yourself or mankind? And this is our job here. We are our brother's keeper. Why am I my brother's keeper? Because my brother and I are one.
And you know, Brother Messenger, when you say we are our brother's keeper, there are some who would say amen to that, but the caveat behind that would be, I'm going to determine who my brother is. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So when I try to push this religious stuff on you to keep you docile and keep you with no desire for knowledge or a greater understanding, I'll tell you that, and then I'll say to you, I am my brother's keeper. You're just not my brother. So as we talk this ministry, we have to understand and, again, continue to inform people that we are all brothers. It doesn't matter if you're black, brown, blue, or yellow. We are all brothers. It doesn't matter if you have breasts, if you don't have breasts. We are all brothers, brethren in that sense. So when we say my brother, that's everybody. It's just a common term which now takes a feminine and masculine definition. But understand, when we say you are my brother, that means everybody, not every man, everybody.
That is so true, because once we truly get into knowing who we are, we'll even be able to take it to the next level and say, no, you're not my brother or my sister, but you are me.
Me,
you
yes,
and
sir.
I are one. So we've got to take, as they would say, we've got to take the baby steps. So right now, we want to be brethren. We want to be family. We want to take the baby steps.
Yeah.
All right? So it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. But now that as an adult. So it's part of us not learning, but remembering. Remember, this is important too. We're not here to learn anything. We are here to remember just who we are and what we are here for. And what we're here for is, because of who we are creators. So each day we are here to create the best possible version of ourselves that we can. That is it. It's just that simple. It is just that simple. We are here to create the best version of who I am. And so we've got to stop looking at things so much in the right or wrong. All right, today I created something for myself that I wasn't particularly happy with. Don't make it wrong. It's just not who I really am. So tomorrow I'm going to create an even better me today. We've got to stop looking at everything from such a negative perspective. And it's easy. You say, well, how can I do that? And the way that we do that is we realize who we are and understand, just like the brother said a few minutes ago, that all things are working together for the good. And when we come to truly understand and accept that, then we can begin to understand, okay, this is what I did today. I made the left turn today, and that left turn had me 10 minutes late. It wasn't a bad turn. It just had me 10 minutes late. So tomorrow, I'm going straight, and I'm going to cut off that 10 minutes that I didn't want to take. So now I've just corrected something that didn't go according to what I was trying to create. That didn't make that left turn bad. That left turn just reminded you that that was not the way to go. It didn't make it bad. It just brought something back to your remembrance that as I'm creating the best me, for me to create the best me, I can't take the left today. Now, tomorrow, the best me that I want to be, I might need to take that left turn because it was something along that path that was going to help encourage or bring joy to my soul. Did you get that, my brother? You see where I'm coming from with that?
Yes, I do, my brother. I'm following.
And it's important for us. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And again, we can make it complex. We can make it sound complex. But if you just get up in the morning, and again, it is hope. Well, it is not hope. One day if you just get up in the morning and whatever it is that you're planning on doing, you just do whatever that might be. Now, again, and I say that because, and I don't want to, I want to caution people when I make that statement. We don't advocate violence. We don't advocate those things that, as per law, man laws, or go against those laws. But what I'm saying is, if that's what you wake up in the morning and you feel, then that's what you do. But now, as we've said in so many earlier messages, that which you do has a universal effect, a.k.a. a consequence, so that we keep, you know, everything in order. And if you choose to get up and disturb people, harm people, hurt people, and you are caught through the system, you are going to go to jail. Now, don't get me wrong. Maybe that's where you needed to go to find that. And I don't wish that on anybody, please. But that's where maybe because of your decisions you needed to go there to find that connection that you apparently did not have. So when we say count it all good, and again, I hope that I hope I never have to be like Paul and write a letter from that place, but that was just an example that I used. But we just create our lives and live our lives. And once we understand, and this is the beautiful part, because I start out with that, then I end up with, once we really understand who it is that we are, you won't have that desire to harm people because you'll be too busy loving and helping people. So, again, this whole process evolves and it ends with us understanding that we are here as a helper to others. And through helping others, again, we will then be the best person that we can possibly be. And just imagine when we get to that state and then every day we want to be better. You know, I helped 100 people today. And again, when I say help, I don't care that when I helped them, I didn't get news coverage. I don't care that, you know, again, if I help somebody, that should be their testimony, not my testimony, not mine, because I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you regardless. So that's not my testimony.
Amen. Hey, I just want to say something real quick, bro. Earlier in the podcast, I spoke about how we are all messengers. Now, we've given myself, and not that I'm any big shot or anything better than anybody else, the title of messenger. But in this podcast, we spoke about everyone being a messenger. And I just want to say to you, my brother, you just delivered a profound message to the world. You broke it down in its simplest form to them, but you just delivered a profound message to them. And it's time for people to take heed And like I said, I'm not here to convince anybody to do anything. I'm just here to try to get people to allow themselves to hear what it is that their soul, which is God, is saying to them. And if you would listen to that, you would see a change. And we spoke about that we are better off on how we treat others. I'm going to tell you a guideline. When in doubt on how to treat people, when in doubt, always err on the side of compassion. Always error on the side of compassion. The test of whether you are helping or hurting are your fellow humans enlarged or reduced as a result of your help. Have you made them bigger or smaller, more able or less able? That's a guideline. That's a simple guideline. When I help someone, did I make them better or did I make them worse? And I'll give you an example. You've got a homeless person. Well, you've got someone out on the street. And they're asking for money. Okay? Now, you want to decide, what should I do? Should I help this person or not? If I give him some money, he's going to drink more. Now, you've got a question to ask yourself. What can I do to help this person? So what do you think? What do you think the best choice? And I know you know, my brother, but I'm just throwing this out. If someone that actually happens to hear this podcast, that they can ask themselves the same question. What choice would you make in that scenario? Whereas the brother, tell where he's been drinking, and if you're not careful, he's going to drink himself into a stupor. But he needs help. What do you do? And remember the guideline. Always err on the side of compassion.
Well, see, that's a tough one, only because I can be compassionate in both ways. My compassion on one hand might tell me if I give him this, he only going to hurt himself. And if I don't give him this, he's going to hurt himself. I would give it to him because if you're going to hurt yourself, I'm sorry, and I don't want to sound too comical. You might as well be happy while you're doing it.
Okay. Okay. And I got to tell you, I can understand exactly where you're coming from. I'd rather give him that than take the chance of him getting so desperate that he robs somebody and then get killed. But we're too busy judging just the fact that his path is not the same as our path, that we look down on him, and we can't. We've got to stop doing that. We've got to start seeing each thing for itself, each person for what it really is. And what it really is just you at a different time.
But we've been, it is so ingrained in us as people. We complain about how the rich 1% treats the middle class, but sometimes the middle class got to stop and look at how we treat the lower class, the underclass. So, you know,
that's
it's
correct.
Been so ingrained to us, you know, to look at people like that. And again, look at our own people, look at people of different races and nationality. If you are what we consider down and out on your luck, living on the street, and all you think about is having that next drink, doesn't matter what color you are, you're viewed in that same negative perception. You know what I'm saying? So
right,
what
uh-huh.
I'm so when we stop and think about it, again, if that person is going to hurt himself, or you think he might hurt himself, it comes down to, what did I just give him? $2? What did I give him? $5? When I go to eat, I'm probably going to tip 4 times that at a restaurant. So, you know, and again, these are just thoughts that run through my mind as we sit here and not actually in the moment. But what I was saying is, for the $5 I gave him, that $5 was going to be given to somebody, why couldn't it have been him?
And that is correct. That is a excellent way to look at it. But what we've got to also do, and I think we spoke about it in our last podcast, we've got to kind of take our mind out of some things. And what I mean by that is we've got to stop trying to think so much, because when we're thinking, what we're doing is we're preventing the soul from being at ease or being fulfilled, because the soul is not going to lead you wrong. If the soul, because, and what I mean by that is sometimes we see that same person and something immediately says, let me give him some money. And sometimes it might even say, let me give him $5. And then you walk, the closer you get to the guy, you say, no, I ain't going to give him $5. Maybe I'll give him $1. Then by the time you get to him, no, maybe I'll just give him this change in my pocket. Then the next thing you know, before you know it, you've given this guy a measly little 25, 35 cents. But the soul originally wanted you to give him the $5. That was the higher good. That was the better you. But you let your mind talk you out of stuff. So we really have to work on allowing the soul and the spirit to lead us instead of constantly trying to, I don't know if we're out, think we're outsmarting or outthinking. I don't know what it is that we think we're doing. But what we're doing is we're depriving the soul from being at ease, from being joyous, from being the better or the best that you can be. The soul will never, never, ever, 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 ever lead you wrong. The soul will always lead you to your highest self. It has been said that if you give some... Go ahead, brother.
I was just going to say, I felt you pause because you needed to hear that hand clap.
Oh.
I said, all right, I'll be a little quicker next time, brother messenger.
Okay. It has been said that if you give everything to individuals, they would be less willing to work for it themselves. Yet, I say, why should they have to work for the simplest dignity? Is there not enough for all? Why should working for it have to do with anything? Isn't basic human dignity we birthright for everyone? Or if it isn't, shouldn't it be? If one seeks more than minimal levels, more food, bigger shelter, finer coverings for the body, one can seek to achieve these goals. But ought one have to struggle to even survive on a planet where there is more than enough for everyone? This is the central question facing humankind. The challenge is not to make everyone equal, but to give everyone at least the assurance of basic survivals with dignity, so that each may have the chance to choose what more they want from there. To choose what more they want from there. But then there are some that say that some don't take that chance even when it is given to them. And they observe correctly. This raises yet another question to those who don't take the opportunities presented to them. Do you owe another chance and another? And then we might say no. And then I say to you, then what if God had that attitude? Would we all be lost to this place called hell forever? But I'll tell you this, compassion never ends. Love never stops. Patience never runs out in God's world. Only in the world of man is goodness limited. In God's world, goodness is endless. And then some people, because we all think that there's got to be some kind of repercussion for the things that we've done. And so we feel as if we don't deserve it. But what we must know is that we always deserve it because of who we are. If a man slaps you on the right cheek, turn and offer him yet another. And if a man asks you to go 1 mile with him, go with him too. When you throw God's goodness back in his face, which is, by the way, the human race has done to God for millenniums, God sees that you are merely mistaken. You do not know what is in your best interest. God has compassion because your mistakes is based not in evil, but in ignorance. Your mistakes are based not in evil, but in ignorance. God has said to you before, no one does anything evil, given his motto of the world. Put another way, all are doing the best they can at any given moment. All actions of everyone depends on the data at hand. I've said to you this before, consciousness is everything. Of what are you aware? What do you know? And see, a lot of things, and this is another thing, a lot of us think we know about God. But God doesn't hold that against you, the fact that you really don't, because you're basing your knowledge of God on religion. And you can't truly know all about God through religion. Because if you did that, then God, religion would have you think that God was jealous, that God was vengeful, that God was arrogant. This is what religion would have you to believe of God. So that same judgment that you're using on someone, just imagine if God was using that on you. I've said before, all attacks is a call for help. No one truly desires to hurt another. Those who do it, including the government, do it out of misplaced ideas that is the only way to get something they want. And the answer and the best way to resolve that issue is simply want nothing. Have preferences, but no needs. But I got to tell you, this is a very high state of being. It's actually the place of masters. In terms of geopolitics, why not work together as a world to meet the most basic needs of everyone? After all these thousands of years of human history, that's the most we can say. The fact is, you have barely evolved at all. We have operated in a primitive, every man for himself mentality. We plunder the earth. Rape her of her resources, exploit her people, systematically disenfranchise those who disagree with you for doing all of this, calling them the radicals. You do all this for your own selfish purpose because you've developed a lifestyle that you cannot maintain any other way. We must cut down millions of acres of trees every year or you don't be able to have our Sunday paper. You must destroy miles of protective ozone, which covers the planet, or you cannot have your hairspray. You must pollute the rivers and streams beyond repair, or you cannot have your industries to give you bigger, better, and more. And you must exploit the least among you, the least advantaged, the least educated, the least aware, or you cannot live at the top of the human scale in unheard of luxury. Finally, you must deny that you are doing this or you cannot live with yourself. So you do all of these things and then you try to deny that you're doing it. And anybody that's aware of any kind of politics that are going on right now, it's right before our very eyes. We're calling it this, but we're really doing that. And that is for our own good and not for the masses of the people. And this is how they're doing it on a much bigger scale, but we have to be careful because we're doing it on the same scale as well. We go to work and we be trying to stab our coworkers in the back for our chance to get ahead. These are the things that we're doing instead of trying to come together and be the best person that we can be. We think being the best person is having the most or quote unquote living the best. And I'm not saying that you can't. Hello?
I'm sorry, brother. Go ahead.
Okay, that's right. And I'm not saying that you can't live a great life, but you got to remember, is it really a great life that you're living if you got to have 16 acres to live on and then you deprive a family of a half an acre just to have a place to live? Are you really living the best?
Hey, brother. I'm sorry. We had a caller on. I just dropped off. So go ahead. I was just going to welcome the caller.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Don. You go.
We cannot find it in our hearts to live simple so that others may simply live.
Let me acknowledge this caller. Was
okay.
Brother.
Sure thing.
Hey, caller. How you doing from 646? How you doing this evening?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I would just like to say that Trump.
Okay, bless Brother Trump.
Your show sucks. You're B rated. You stink.
Go ahead, Brother Messenger. Why would somebody just take the time to call in because they want to be crazy? But it's all right, though. He got his Trump calls in there. And hey, go Brother Trump. I don't wish him no harm. I just wish him a lot of intelligence.
But remember
but
what
go
we
ahead,
said.
My brother.
Remember what we said. It's because of ignorance. It's not because of evil. It's because of ignorance. Because they have not been awakened to the fact of who they really are. So all we can do is just hope that the brother, even though he want to make it a prank call, he heard something that might, tomorrow morning when he wake up, see things just a little different. Because that same brother, whether he knows it or not, he's rooting for a man that could care less about him. That's a man that's in denial. We just spoke about it. With regards to how we'll make excuses for what it is that we're really doing.
But you know what I say? I say amen. Caller, hope you continue to listen to the podcast. And you may change your name or whatever, but one day maybe you'll call back in and be willing to just hear the message. That's all. Because you're already listening, so you may as well take the time and hear it. But I do. I say blessings to you, and please keep listening to the podcast. Tell your friends about it. All right. But now back to our message, my brother.
All right. I'll say that again. We cannot find in our hearts to live simply so that other people may simply live. Now that bumper sticker wisdom is too simple for us. It is too much to ask, too much to give. After all, you've worked so hard for what you've got, you ain't giving up none of it. And if the rest of the human race, to say nothing of your own children's children, have to suffer for it, tough bananas. That's what we're saying, tough bananas. You did what you had to do to survive to make it. They can do the same. After all, isn't it every man for himself? Is it? Is it not? And then you say, well, is there any way out of this mess? And yes, a shift of consciousness. You cannot solve the problems that plague humankind through governmental actions or by political means. You have been trying to do that for thousands of years. The change must be made. The change must be made, can be made only in the hearts of people. We must stop seeing God as separate from us and you as separate from each other. We must see God not as separate from us or you, my brother, separate from me. We have to stop looking at it like that. The only solution is the ultimate truth. Nothing exists in the universe that is separate from anything. Everything is instinctively connected, irrevocably independent, interactive, interwoven into the fabric of all life. All governments, all politics must be based on this truth. All laws must be rooted in it. This is the future hope of mankind, the only hope for the planet. Love gives all and requires nothing. If everyone in the human race gave all, what would you require? The only reason you require anything is because someone else is holding back. Stop holding back. The only reason you require anything is because someone else is holding back. Why do we require so much money? Because all the people with the money is holding it back from us. Why do we require food? Because all the producers are charging ridiculous prices. Why do we need so much medicine? Because the pharmacies have taken over the control. So we need this, but if they were to just give, pharmacies were to just give, and the food people were just give, what would you need? And there would still be enough. There would actually come a time where there wouldn't even be a need for money. But because we live in this survival of the fittest world, and not seeing the fact that we are not separate from God and neither are we separate from one another, we see it as a survival for ourselves when we're not looking at the bigger picture of the survival of mankind, which is ourselves. And until we stop thinking that we are separate, we can't get this right. That's why a global consciousness is what is required. Yet how will that come about? Somebody has to start. And I say the opportunity is here for you. You can be the source of this new consciousness. You can be the inspiration. You know what? Not you can be, you must be. Who else is there? Be a light unto the world and hurt it not. Seek to build, not to destroy. Help bring God's people home. And you say, how? By shining examples. Seek only godliness. Speak only in truthfulness. Act only in love. Live the law of love now and forevermore. Give everything required. Avoid the mundane. Do not accept the unacceptable. Teach all who seeks to learn of God. Make every movement in your life an outpouring of love. Use every moment to think the highest thought. say the highest word, do the highest deed, and thus glorify your holy soul, and thus you glorify God. Bring peace to the earth by bringing peace to all those who live lives you touch. Be peace. Feel and express in every moment your divine connection with the all and with every person, place, and thing. Embrace every circumstance. Own every fault. Share every joy. Contemplate every mystery. Walk in every man's shoes. Forgive every offense, including our own. Heal every heart. Honor every person's truth. Adore every person's God. Protect every person's right. Preserve every person's dignity. Promote every person's interests. Provide every person's need. Presume every person's holiness. Present every person's greatest gift. Produce every person's blessing. Pronounce every person's future secure in the assured love of God. Now, I be a living, a breathing example of the highest truth that resides in you. Speak humbly of yourself. Let someone mistake your highest truth. Speak humbly of yourself, lest someone mistakes your highest truth for a boast. Speak softly, lest someone thinks you are merely calling for attention. Speak gently, that all might know of love. Speak openly, let everyone think you have some. Speak openly, lest anyone thinks you have something to hide. Speak candidly, so you cannot be mistaken. Speak often, so that your words may truly go forth. Speak respectfully, that no one be dishonored. Speak lovingly, that every syllable may heal. Speak of God with every utterance. Make of your life a gift. Remember always, you are the gift. Be a gift to everyone who enters your life and to everyone whose life you enter. Be careful not to enter another's life if you cannot be a gift. You can always be a gift because you always are the gift. Yet sometimes you don't yet know yourself that you are. When someone enters your life unexpectedly, look for the gift that person has come to receive from you. What an extraordinary way of putting it. What else do you think a person has come to you? Why else do you think another person has come to you? I'll tell you this. Every person who has come to you has come to receive a gift from you. In doing so, he gives a gift to you. The gift of your experience and fulfilling who you are. When you see the simple truth, when you understand it, you see the greatest truth of all. That God has sent you nothing but angels. Nothing but angels. Those words that I just said, I just want that to just meditate for a moment, because I want us to understand just who and what's going on. And I'll say it one last time. I tell you this, every person who has ever come to you has come to receive the gift from you. In doing so, he gives a gift to you. The gift of your experiencing and fulfilling who you are. When you see this simple truth, when you understand it, you see the greatest truth of all. And what's important for us to understand is when I say to the gift, please don't interpret that as soon as you see somebody, that means you got to give them money. Because love is a gift. A smile is a gift. These are the gifts. And this is what it is that we must be able to do, that our light may shine, that men may see it, men and women may see the good work and glorify the Father. Be the light unto the world and hurt it not. Seek to build, not to destroy, so that you may help to awaken yourself, the part of you, And what I mean by that is the brother or sister that has not been awoken. Be your shining example. Seek only godliness. Speak only in truthfulness. Act only in love. Act only in love. And what I'm going to do right now, we've got a few minutes left, but the brother kind of cut my song off, so I want to play that again, just so that as we meditate for a moment on those words, we can hear this part of what I want you to hear as well. Hang in there with me, brother co-producer, all right?
I got it. I'm coming on to you now.
Okay.
Thank everybody for tuning in to the Messenger podcast tonight.
Amen.
Where, again, it is just about sharing the goodness of God and helping everybody to reach that point that we understand that we are all in this together. And that's just not a real nice saying. That's a fact of life. And the sooner we come into that knowledge, oh, my goodness, what a wonderful, glorious place this world will be.
Amen. Amen. And I do once again, brother, thank you for allowing the Spirit to touch you and to use you, that we can be a vessel, that we may be able to spread this word out to those that have ears, let them hear what it is that saith the Lord. And I say this in the most humblest way possible. I don't take myself to be anybody great. I'm just like you and messenger. So as you hear this, share it. Light up someone else's light that they may hear. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about allowing each and every one to come to the understanding that we are not separate from God and we're not separate from one another. I love you, and may the grace be with us until we meet again. Power.
All right, podcast audience, that's our show, The Messenger, every Thursday, Saturday, Sunday nights at 11. Tune in and receive what thus says a word from high. Good night, brother.
Good night, my brother.